Welcome to another episode of our NCLEX review series. In this podcast, we continue to bring you valuable materials to help you prepare for your exam. Enjoy.
NCLEX asks you a lot of questions on personality disorders. Personality, I'm on page 938. She will bring the Alzheimer's. Calm down. Basically, why do people act a certain way today, like 5 minutes, and then the next 5 minutes turn to somebody else, right? Personality disorder. So let's talk about it. They call personality disorders cluster B disorder. In NCLEX, don't put personality disorder, no. They put cluster B disorders. So I need you guys to understand that. So I am on page 939, right? Cluster B disorder. The first one is called histrionic personality disorder. I'm on page 939, and I'm on D top. Histrionic personality disorder, right? This person is dramatic. Now, I'm not going to characterize people, but I'm going to give you an example. But I don't want you to say all people who are gay do that. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm giving you an example. In the gay community, you have like people that are very professional gay. I don't want to tell my business. I go to work. I do what I'm supposed to do. Then you have others who's very drama. Like they walk in the room and you can tell. Now, a lot of people characterize that as histrionic, but it does not associate with all gay people are histrionic. You have people who is not gay that are histrionic. Very dramatic. Everything. Right? Very dramatic, yes.
That was my first question.
Oh, you're in NCLEX? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me try to help you with the answer. Right? That was her first question on her NCLEX. Histrionic people, personality disorder, these people are very dramatic. They're very live, they're the life of the party. Right? You know this person gonna come in like a two-star. She's like the live, the party, right? Now, has poor, shallow interpersonal relations, may be sexually seductive or provocative. Yes, yes. And it has a lot to do with, for example, if they was molested, right? Or if something bad happened to them, they kind of like, well, I'm nobody, so anybody can have it. You understand? They're very sexual people. Okay? Know that. They're very sexual, has overly concerned with appearance. I gotta look a certain way. I gotta look very, very, like, appearance is very important to them. And then they easily bored. Now, here's the nursing intervention. How do you deal with a histrionic person? You never say, Rose, what you're doing is wrong. I need you to fix it. Because in her eyes, she's not doing anything wrong. So the way you do deal with her, you role play it. You know what role play means? You show Rose, this is how you treat coward. You show her, that's the only way she will see what she's doing is wrong. Because in her eyes, she don't feel she's doing nothing wrong. Any question? Histrionic personality disorders. Okay? Then we go to narcissistic. Everybody got a narcissistic friend. And let me tell you what a narcissistic friend is. I say, a lot of Haitian people have this. I know, for example, you'll say, oh, so society. Not lads, you so society. Wherever you come from, she came from higher. Wherever you went to school, she came higher. Narcissistic can never have one friend. Today she your friend, tomorrow she your friend. She cannot study with one person. You ever had a person that study with everybody? And every time you come down, the problem is within them. Like if there's an argument, that person will always be in the middle. Even if y'all two arguing, something she don't say, that's what you guys are arguing for. That is a narcissistic person. Ready? Need admiring. Oh, you look so pretty. Why you need every day somebody got to say you look good? You don't need that, right? Over what? Overestimation of abilities, lack of empathy. Yes, they never feel sorry for nobody. They never feel sorry for, well, I know I can do it, so if I can do it, you can do it too. Not people go through things, right? So, you know, you're not a nurse today, but tomorrow you'll become a nurse. That's not what the narcissistic patient person will say. Well, if I can do it, you can do it. I don't feel sorry for nobody. Whatever. Why do you drink? You see? Yeah, I have my own problem. Narcissistic. Any question? Right? Y'all know a friend? I know some people in here. I've been dealing with people in here a long time. Who is 76? Somebody playing with my AC. I know I had it on 74. I'm going to make it cold. Give them, put your hands up. Give it for me. Thank you, baby. If I say one, put hands up and give it for me. Okay? Any question? Then we go to antisocial. Ma'am, what was your NCLEX question about histrionic? Scenario. Did they role play? That's the answer. And that is on my mama, papa, too. Okay, then we go into antisocial. The antisocial personality disorder does not mean you a person that cannot talk to people in front of the class. A lot of students get that wrong. Antisocial means if I say to you, go walk on the left side, you're going to walk on the right side because I told you to. Guys, antisocial, a lot of beautiful, good-looking men. They good-looking. They normally attract to women that are low self-esteem. They real hot. And they find a little mama that pay all their bills, right? Antisocial normally rape. They rape. Right? Antisocial men are always beautiful, good looking, like Scott Peterson. Okay? Married and then killed a wife. Right? Had a second life. Okay? Antisocial, the only reason you'll go get help is because the court forced you. You will never go get help because you don't think something is wrong. Antisocial is not you afraid to come here and talk. That's not what that antisocial. Antisocial is a person that does not follow no rules. And it all started when you was little. You remember when you were 2 years old, mommy said, don't do that, right? And you did it. And if she didn't spank you, now you 18. You bigger than mommy. Mommy cannot spank you anymore, right? So consistency, right? Antisocial, prison. Normally, court ordered them to go get help. Rapists, abusers, predators. They the one beat the woman. They beat women because they have a very low self-esteem. But they the one that woman love. Beautiful men. And you'll say, I can't leave him. Any question? We're antisocial. NCLEX call these what personality disorder?
Cluster B.
The last cluster B, I need you to know, it's called borderline. Borderline are very manipulative. They multi. You ever seen a person that lie? Ooh-wee. Thank you. Borderline personality disorder is very manipulative. They try to make the nurses fight with each other. For example, they'll go, well, Sonia, when she worked, she let me smoke, right? And then you gonna feel bad. This is what you say. Well, when Sonia here, she run her shift the way she want. When I'm here, I run my shift. All I do is try to help you, and try to keep you what? Safe. Right? Don't let them try to go over you. Very manipulative. Lie about everything. So let's talk about borderline. Unclear identity. Unstable. Extreme shifts in mood. One day he's very, very nice. One day, boy, he's a monster. Right? Easily angered, easily bored. Very argumentative. You ever had somebody, always a reason. Guys, I deal with it a lot with the students. They fail a test. Oh, the test was hard. Okay, the test was some RN stuff. Like, they always making excuses. That is your borderline, right? Self-destructive. Something they do, they are cutters. They don't want to cut. They the one that may commit suicide. Okay? Now, what's the nursing intervention for borderline for borderline personality disorders, right? Consistent. Matterly of fact. What does that mean? Straight to the point. No gushing. See, you gotta be careful. If you open the room and talk all, you look beautiful today with a psych patient. You opening the door for them to disrespect you, right? No, that's not what you say. Oh, I see a big change today. Because if you say he looked good, it's okay for him to say, oh, you look good too. So how do we fix that? My, I see a change today. Somebody decided to shave this morning. Somebody decided to wear makeup today. That's it. Keep it straight to the point. No gushy conversation. All right? Any question? We cool? So cluster B, here's the ones that fall under them. Histrionic, narcissistic, antisocial, borderline. What is the, did you see Christina? Ladies, did you guys sign in? Sign in next door. What is the nursing intervention for histrionic? Role play. Kisa role playing. Show him what he's doing. Give him an example. Don't tell him because he don't what? See it. Narcissistic. What is the nursing intervention for narcissistic? Can you change me? I came from Porepe. How can you change that? You can, but what can you do? Tell me about your life. Tell me. You know, let me tell you about them. They're really broken inside. You know why they're like that? Because they're hurting. They don't have no friends, right? Any question? Narcissistic. Antisocial. How can you fix antisocial? You can't. Jail. Please don't. Antisocial love. Hardcore punishment. That's the only one that's going to fix them. They the one that rape and spit. They don't. Who are you? Mark, come home at 10 o'clock. He gonna come at 1 o'clock just to show you he can It has nothing to do with you. Okay? Women can be like this too, but you find this mostly in men. Okay? Borderline. Set limits. Very manipulative. Right? Don't get caught up with that he say, she say with them. Any question? So right when NCLEX put cluster B, your eyes open. It can either be borderline, narcissistic. Any question? No more? Then we're going to go into yes. Narcissistic. Talk to them. Find out what is the root of their problem. Okay? Now, then we go to cluster C. Cluster C. Haha. There is one that you must know that fall under cluster C. And it is called OCD. Where did I teach you OCD? Inside. OCD is also what we call cluster C. Cluster C, personality disorder, anxious, fearful type of personality disorders, obsessive compulsive personality disorder, okay? Overly conscious, inflexible and preoccupied with details, extreme devotion to work, miserly, stubborn, bordering behavior, engage in rituals. An OCD patient, guys, make no mistake. They make no mistake, but if I find a silly, that's his side. Like, they're very, oh, I gotta do it. And I say, if you stop them and say, what is it that you gotta do? May I help you? Oh, I don't know. But it's just the rules. I gotta do it. Well, what is it? I'm here to help you. Nobody can help them. They have so much going on in their mind. Why? Because they're anxious about something. So what's the nursing intervention for OCD patient? Monitor them? I'm doing it. Let them relieve the what? The anxiety. I'm doing the ritual, washing my hands. Let them do it while they're doing it. But if they didn't start it, what are you going to do? Distract them. Hey, Kawan, come with me. And they love me. I said, you keep them busy. But if she started, I stop her. Guess what? She's going to hit me, or she can become violent because she did not relieve her what?
Anxiety.
Any question? Go to NCLEX, knowing cluster B, knowing cluster C. You'll pop out who your histrionic. Some they'll give histrionic, some they'll give a borderline, but they use those words. Yes. Is for them to relieve the stress. So yes, it depends on the question. Some questions will tell you, wake them up early so they can do the ritual. So it depends on what the question asks. Okay? Prep you. If you come to my review, you need to get to prep you. Lippincott, Pearson. This world thing that they have out there, when you finish, if a friend bought it and you want to use it. But I'm telling you, prep you. You'll be fine. Don't go through 50 million questions. Prep you, Pearson, Lippincott, right? And that's it. And the mama papas, and you safe home, buddy. Nothing more. You don't have to do nothing more. Yes. Yes, you can stick to prep you. It doesn't matter. Yes.
Prep you is the same thing, almost the same thing as your teaching. Because I start doing it.
It sure enough feels like my teaching.
Yes.
That's how you pass.
It's good.
It's real good. Prep you perfect.
But the thing is, you cannot share with me, Sonia.
Of course.
Somebody tells you, so you only can learn from the rational.
That's right. You don't supposed to share it. There's some money you gotta spend, and prep you is one. Pay it. You'll be fine. Okay? All right. Now, let's look into our Alzheimer's. Right? Any question with borderline, cluster B? Nous bon? We good. Pas médecin, pas médecin, just read what I gave you. Keep it simple. Yes.
What about evolve?
Evolve is good. Let me explain to you about evolve. Because Nova, that's what we use. Evolve is good once you know your content. Yes, evolve is good. If you know your content. Like when you finish reading everything, at the end, you evolve. Give me a test. Take it. I did evolve. Okay? But if you don't know your content and you're doing questions all over the world because Kawal told you go do questions, don't do questions all over the world. Read your stuff and then go do questions. Guarantee license. This week, 9 students, everybody went pass. I have not one person fail this week. There's some people who ain't got 265. They passed 205, 75, 85. Hawaii, Florida, Iboyo Bay, Florida, Sibensa. Kill left floor down the floor, baby. Yes. Lippincott Pearson is good. As you read, you do question. But you need to buy prep you. Tell your mama she'll buy. She passed using your mama at prep you. Yeah, she got it. Tell her the son say give it to you. Okay, let's go. Chronic organic brain syndrome. That is what NCLEX put for Alzheimer's. Paper. We in this paper. And then we're going to go in the book for Alzheimer's drug. You're going to do Alzheimer's right here. Right in this little paper. All right? Get one. Right here, you see where it says chronic organic brain syndrome? That's the word they put. So the student like, what's that? They put that. Another English that they put. If you need a paper, you just walked in, give up on me. Louis body. Louis. God did we? They put that. God did. You didn't know that was Alzheimer's. Louis body. Okay? Louis body is another name. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Students get confused. Alzheimer's is the disease. Alzheimer's patients have dementia. See, the students think the disease is the dementia. No, it's not. The disease is Alzheimer's, and Alzheimer's have dementia. Now, if I'm an alcohol person, right, and I'm going to withdraw, I have dementia. So that means dementia is a sign of symptoms of what? Something. Any question? When you have Alzheimer's, you go through stages. You go through stages. And this is where NCLEX get the students. You don't die of AIDS. You don't die of breast cancer. You don't die of Alzheimer's. You die of complication of Alzheimer's. Complication of AIDS. Complication of breast cancer. One of the complications of breast cancer is respiratory failure. So your last stage of breast cancer, you see the patient no longer can breathe and the patient can no longer walk, right? So they eventually die from that. Alzheimer's, at the end, you stop walking. So if you stop walking and you sit down, what sets in? Pneumonia, ulcers. That is why they die. Remember our President Reagan? At the end, he forget simple stuff, like lifting your leg. You don't know how to do that. So they're what, bedridden, and then eventually die of pneumonia. Okay? So, A, what is Alzheimer's? Irreversible brain damage. Ms. Sonia, what does that mean? Students say, oh, what about that medication we give you? What about that demand, right? What about that Aricept? What about that Exelon? The reason we give you those, instead of you going bad in 5 years, we'll give you a good 10 years. But there's no cure for it, right? No cure. Now, when you first diagnose with Alzheimer's, there is something that you do, and that is called confabulation. Ms. Sonia, what is that? I'm telling you a story because I cannot remember the end of the story. I'm trying to lie to fill in the blank. Confabulation, right? I thought that one guy that's running for president last night did a lot of that. He couldn't answer those questions. He should not be no president. He can't remember. The man asked him a simple question. He was like, what? Oh, bro, no, right? I think he's too old, right? Confabulation. I noticed, you guys didn't notice that?
Yeah.
I caught that on quick, right? And that is what Alzheimer's patients do early. They do confabulation. That means I'm telling you a story. Parce que m'a changé dernier port story à m'étranger la donne. Any question? Confabulation is making up lies to fill in the blank because I don't remember the facts.
But is the early sign?
Early, yes. Now, all right, you see makeup stories to fill in the gaps. Motor impairment, disintegrating personality, disintegrating behavior. Yes, they fight. Yes, they turn into a different person, right? Short-term memory impairment and from months to years. Let me explain something to you. When you have Alzheimer's early, I remember where I graduated. First of all, I remember what I do for a living. I remember my children. I remember my spouse. I remember all long-term. I just don't remember today. So, what do you do for the patient, right? You bring a what? Calendar. You bring a newspaper. Again, early sign of Alzheimer's. You don't need to put the picture of the wife because he knows who's the wife. He knows it's his children. He knows where he went to school. It's late sign you bring those. Any question? Early sign, he don't have short term. Today, who's the president? He don't know. So he need clocks, he basically calendar, he need newspaper, you need to turn the TV on to keep him updated. Mr. Lee, today is October 13th. Keep saying that. All right? Any question? Oh, October 14th. We cool? All right. Type of organic brain disease, right? Now, the Korsakoff, they have the Wernicke-Korsakoff, right? Korsakoff syndrome, you remember we did what last week? Alcohol, right? It's associated with what? alcoholism due to the thiamine, right? Now, let's go. Continue. Long and short-term memory impairment, so they still talking about Alzheimer's. They have confabulation, polyneuritis, that's late sign, flat affect, late sign, ataxia, difficulty walking, late sign, confusion, learning impaired. Now, Alzheimer's, guys, normally start now 45. Yeah? Each gentleman. When you have 50 people, yeah? 50. My friend mom had it like 52. Early, yep. It progressive and chronic, decreased cognitive. Anytime I say cognitive, I'm talking about brain. All right, brain. Like schizophrenia, it's a cognitive disease. Okay? All right. They behavior changes. They live up to about 15 years. Yes. Right? Now, here it is. First phase. Now, they go NCLEX. NCLEX mando fazio. What happened? What phase? First phase. They call it the forget. The first thing. When you have Alzheimer's, the patient forgets stuff. Ready? The patient will be anxious. Recent memory impaired. What does recent mean? Today's stuff. This is where they kill the student. They ask you, the patient is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. What should the wife bring? Student submit a picture of the wife, picture of the family. Honey, for you to get that, they have to tell you where, at what stage he's in. Make the room look like home. Late sign. You get it? All right. Now, then we go into shortened retention of information. Then we go to the second phase, which is called the confusion phase. So at the beginning, they forget. True? Then they confuse. Orientation disturbance. So NCLEX asks you, which stage the patient get lost? In the confusion phase. Did they went to Publix and don't know how to get back? Like my grandmother, she's like 92 and she looked really good. And she can't go to Haiti. The America blocked her. And she goes, I don't know why they blocked me. I don't know. I'm like, lady, if you're going to stick somewhere, who's going to go find you? She says she's safer in Haiti than here. Right? But they stop her from going to Haiti. Because she's 90-something. You don't need to be traveling. Who's going to find you? Right? So she don't like that. Concentration decreases. You forget words. Now, let me explain something to you. Here, they forget words. Early, they call, especially grandchildren. So, yeah, Tawon. So, yeah, like, this is Tawon, right? But call you Sunya. They call Tawon Sunya at the beginning. At the beginning. But this phase, the confusion phase, they totally forget words. But early on, they mix up the grandbabies. But they know their money, though. You short, they say they put stuff places, and they don't remember where they put them. And they accuse people of stealing, too. And you didn't steal. It's just they don't know where they put it. Right? Deny, and then deny that they have a problem. So NCLEX asks you, where are they violent? They're not violent in confusion. They're in denial, but they're not violent. Where are they violent? In the dementia. Ah, you back. They have what we call sundowners. That's why you do not give them pain medication. You give an Alzheimer patient Ambien, oh my God, you just kill them. You give them Xanax to sleep or Benadryl. You gotta watch the strong medication. They disorientation, anxiety, denial, they delusion, hallucination. Sometimes they give them hound dog parce qu'ils prennent un fou. Et puis tête la partie. Very hard patient to care for. People abuse them. Who abused them? The loved one. The reason the loved one abused them, especially the spouse, you can't do it no more. You tired so badly. Yes, because it's too much for you. And that's why you gotta drop them somewhere for 8 hours for you to take a break and then up to you. I'm back. They the main one get abused by love. Right? So if you gonna abuse them, imagine what the nurse gonna do. Kill them dead. Alright? Agitation and physical. Here, they forget how to walk. They forget how to eat. You see how they can die? Because they're not eating. They stop eating in this lesson. Late side, yes. That is where they don't know the wife, the kids, nobody. So now you're going to bring the pictures. You're going to make the room look like home. And it's sad. Do you remember me? No? You remember Daddy? It's so devastating, right? But at the beginning, they remember their families. Any questions?
So dementia phase, they are forgetting the family, right?
No.
No?
Yes, they forget loved ones. They forget past. Any question? Turn. Nursing intervention. Okay? Nursing intervention. Hey, let me ask you a question. Which phase you'll give me smooth softener? Which phase? Dementia. Why? Because they're not what? Moving. All right, they're not moving. Guys, these are the questions NCLEX asks you, right? A lot of water. Now, at the beginning, allow as much independence as possible. Hey, don't come do everything for me at the beginning. They can do some things, but just give them time. You know they slow, right? So give them time. Treat medical symptoms, which happen which stage. Third, nutrition, finger food. Boy. Don't go bring big deli. Don't come big turkey meals. They need finger food, so give me finger food. Hot dog, hamburger. Chicken tenders. None of that carrot stuff.
How baby food?
Huh?
Baby food.
At the end, they will give them baby food. At the end. Because at the beginning, that's disrespectful. At the end. Big lawyer and you giving me baby food. At the end, you're going to give them baby food. And they don't. They give them yogurt, tibagai bell, and they make the tree very pretty. Yes. Finger food, not at the last stage. Let me explain some. Because in the last stage, they also lost gag reflex. Okay. The last stage, you see, they give them yogurt. Yeah. I don't want to say baby food. At the beginning, you're going to give them finger food. At the beginning. Okay? Now, limit fluids at night. Why? Because you know they get up. Hey, they get up. You put them in the sleep, you find them all the way on John Road. So you got to make sure you lock the door and cut the fluid. But they need a lot of fluid because they can get constipated. Right? So you're going to give them fluid, but not at nighttime. You need to watch it. Right? Stool softeners. We range of motion, walk, keep awake. And do fun things with them, you know. Do their hair, take them, do fun things. A lot of people, when their parents get old and they're going through this, they just kind of push them in a home. It's not good. There's place for that. Monitor safety. Eliminate multiple stimuli. Not a lot of stuff. Oh, I got to go put a phone in. I got to go do this. No. Simple task. Dim lights. All right, simple task. Okay, yes.
I have one more question. In the bottom, it says something diagnosis. What?
Where are you?
In the front page.
In the front page.
Okay, nursing diagnosis is impaired, impaired knowledge. Okay, remember nursing diagnosis, you cannot make a medical diagnosis and say Alzheimer's, right? Make short, simple conversation, speak slowly, no Facebook, no texting, break tasks in small steps, provide consistent care, routine. And they'll try to give them the same nurse, right? Now, orient them to person, place, and time. Yes. Yes, because remember, at the beginning, they forget. They forget today. You'll say, today, Friday. Oh, Friday. What today is again? Friday. It's like you say the same thing over and over. Gotta have patience with them. All right, then, part two. Be quiet. I asked Miss Carrie to put this on here because a lot of students had problem with voluntary and involuntary. Let's talk about that. This is the hospital, we're in this room, and I came in, okay? I'm seeking for help. That means I voluntarily came into the hospital. True?
Yes.
If I want to voluntarily go home, you cannot stop me. All right? So volunteer, person who admit themselves, you must give consent for all treatment from that person, right? You must give consent. Can refuse treatment, including medication, right? Unless they are endangered to self or others. Any question? Hold on. And they can also choose to go home whenever they want. Tell you, go F yourself, get me out of here. They want to go, don't go. Why you want to go home? Okay, sir, sign here. Good one. Any question for voluntary? We are voluntary. I'm going to get to involuntary. Hold on. Hold on. Let me get her. She got a burning question. Yes, Katusa. Don't go to involuntary. Okay.
But for voluntary, if you are endangering yourself after the physical examination by the doctor, he's able to make you involuntary.
Absolutely. That's why I'm going to go to the involuntary next. All right. Yeah.
So, what voluntary they have within 72 hours?
No. Voluntary means I walk in and I can walk out. That's whenever I want. Okay, hold on. I'm going to get to where I am. Hold on. Now, I came in voluntary. Something happened and I said, I'm going to cut her up. I came in voluntarily, remember, but all of a sudden I became violent. The doctor, because now I lost my rights, right? The doctor cannot hold me. He has to go to court. Each psych ward has a judge, and the purpose of this judge is to view cases like this. Sonia came in at noon, and at 2 o'clock, Sonia wanna act out. The judge will now sign me to be involuntary. So for 72 hours, I lost my rights. Meaning, I cannot go home. I came in voluntarily, but I started acting out. I cannot go home. You will give me my medication if I say no. You will give it to me very ethically. You will wait till I fall asleep, call security, you okay, Ben? You're borrowing. You're not going and give to me. No, you do it very, come on, with respect, because I lost my rights for 72 hours. We cool? If I came in voluntarily, 12 o'clock, just high blood pressure. But 2 o'clock, I took a knife. Oh, now that becomes involuntary. But The doctor cannot hold me like that. He has to go seek an injunction to keep me, right, in the facility, and all my rights get taken for 72 hours. If my rights get taken for 73 hours, guess what? That's lawsuit. Jacob will close this facility down. 72 hours. Now, what can happen to me when my rights taken away? You can forcefully give me my medication. With respect, I cannot go home. Now, here it is. Any invasive procedure like ECT, you better call my family, although I'm involuntary. Any invasive, you better call my family. Just because I'm involuntary, you can't get your knife and go to cut and cut whenever you want. You got it. So did y'all hear that? Okay, if you do not get the family member, the judge again will make that. Not doctor. Not students. Always say doctor. Not doctor. You must get a judge. Now, when the police find you in the street, like you here, you take a knife. I'm going to kill you. Right? I'm going to kill you. All I say, let me reverse that. I don't have a knife. I'm going to kill you. The police cannot vicar at me because I said, I'm crazy anyways. That's what crazy people do all day, all night. I'm going to kill you. If I take the bat, I'm going to kill you. That is when you vicar at me. Police are not the only one that can vicar at. A social worker and family member. Any question? Baker at me, you were, hey, trying to harm yourself or others. Not threaten. Students always confuse threaten. Guys, crazy people. I had a crazy sister. She threatened me all day, all night. We can't baker act for that. You call Henderson Clinic. Ma'am, Sonia, call us back. Sonia, Sonia. See, it's when she start hitting and fighting, that's when she get bigger. Not action. And on my mama papa, the students always put action. Not action. Not threat. Action, excuse me. Putting hands on someone. Any question? We cool? All right. And let me tell you something. On my mama papa, students always get confused with these questions, the side question. How come she's hitting both? Oh, and you say, Kawan, please don't do that. She's hitting. So when she's hitting, you need to give her what? How dog. She, a guy with many. You took a sheet and covered it. Why would you do that? He's still under the sheet. You remove him. Take him to the room. Guys, these are the questions the students do bad on. Common sense. Guys, if he's masturbating under the sheet. He's masturbating where people eating. Well, if you cover it, you won't see it. Yes, you are seeing it. Send him to his room. Let him masturbate all night, all day. Right? If she's fighting, don't say, please, can you not do that? Please, can you not do that? Hell, she gonna beat the hell out. You need to give her house off. LPN, you do not initiate restraint. LPN, you do not. Now, some of you LPN will say, I do. No, you don't. Let me tell you how it's done in your facility. The patient acting out, you got to call DON, which is the RN, who called it, right? Who called it, call the doctor, right? And then you go put it on. But you don't go initiate it. LPN don't initiate a restraint. Any question? That's on my mama, papa. You guys have to understand these questions. Any question? Okay, let's go to medication for Alzheimer's. Excuse me. 9 what? 60. $984 Alzheimer's medication. Box 6612. Right? That's three drugs you need to know. They're the main three drugs. Aricept, I'm going to talk about them, Lamando, and there's one that is called Exelon, which is a patch. Okay? A Novali. All your tooth, all Alzheimer's drugs cause GI problems. GI problem. Your tooth, all of them cause GI problems. Ready? Let's go. The first one, B, Aricept. And guys, listen. The students went to go in class. They went in on them damn drugs. That Florida, woo-hoo-wee, they go brand generic, and they don't give it to you together. You can have brand, you can have generic, or they give you class. Know your drugs, please. That Florida, Florida won glaubi. Florida got an English out there, honey. It's the bomb. You got to know your stuff. And please, please come to test taking strategies. 2 months you in this program. You must come to test taking strategy. Trust me. You see your $900 you paying me? Not for the review. Remember, Diane do review, Riggs do review. There's a lot of people. It's the test taking strategies. Everybody who passed this test this week saying, Sonia, right when I sat down, I got my little board, I put system, and I was safe. I wasn't scared no more. Because I teach you the material, but remember, I cannot help you with your mental. See, the only way I can help you with your mental is test-taking strategies. Some people being here 2 months, 3 months, I have not seen you now one time. Some people want to come and test it. I'm watching. You got to do up to cardio. When you do up to cardio, then you come, all right? Some people, you almost finished the program. I haven't even seen you now one time. Okay. The first one, Aricept. Nausea and diarrhea. Remember GI. And listen, they don't have to put nausea and diarrhea. You'll meet their GI. You see? You'll meet their GI problems. If I'm a there. Okay? And get your English right now. You cannot go to the NCLEX say too much. No. C'est licence, swap, chaché. Come on. Yes, it's going to be too much. Get your English right. And to get your English right is read. Say it in Creole. Lis et puis dis en Creole. Read, say it in patois. Hell, Spanish. Whatever you speak, say it. You need to understand. They not playing. They not Florida, but we getting them. The students are passing, but honey, when they finish, one took it Saturday. After she left Pearson, she came here. She lay on the couch like this. I said, girl, what's wrong with you? She said, ooh, Miss Sonia, check for me. And we checked together. She passed. She came just like this on the couch. Ooh, Miss Carrie, I felt so bad. It's like you don't have nothing left after. It's like this test took everything out of you. She came here. It wasn't a bucket could fill her water. That's how much she cried. She said, it's been so many years, Miss Sonny. I finally made it. And she said, it was so easy. It would be me like monkey with me. It was so easy. Right? She said, it was easy. She passed, right? But it was a lot. Okay? Now, when you take Aricept, it slows the heartbreak. Anytime you give Aricept an LPN, you don't do that. Monique, you give Aricept, right? Do you check the heart rate?
No.
You LPN, do you check the heart rate? I'm telling you, very, very important. Anytime the baby to come outside, patient could be just like you. Okay? Then we go to Namenda. Namenda is the, I wouldn't say the best, but it helped them to sleep. It's a good drug. It is a good drug. You never give Namenda at the forgetfulness stage. You always start with Aricept in Clex question. Eskinutandi. You start with Aricept. Then you go to Aricept and Namenda. Or you can do Exelon with Aricept. You never start with the Namenda. If a patient start with Namenda, that means the doctor caught it in patient wants it grave. Meaning the patient got worse. Did y'all hear what I said? Listen, Namenda, and let me be honest, you got some new doctors that will give it at the beginning. They knew. But an old doctor who's been around a long time always will do Aricept, then Namenda. All right, then bring the Exelon. The Exelon come in patch. They give Exelon. They should give Exelon and Aricept. Or they can give Aricept and Namenda. But they shouldn't start with Namenda unless they find out the patient is worse. They get it in a confusion state. All right? But you have some new doctors that will start with Namenda. Okay? Now, Namenda. Ready? Should not be used in combination with Sematrel. Hey, what is Sematrel used for? Parkinson's. Amantadine. And what else Sematrel used for? Flu. Amantadine is used for flu, and it's also used for what?
Parkinson's.
Make sure y'all know that. Okay? Now, let's continue. Number four, sodium bicarbonate, other medication that alkalize the urine can decrease renal excretion. Yeah. Anytime you want Namenda, they check your kidney. They check your kidney. B-U-L-N-K-R-I-A. Ooh, and know your labs. Okay? Know your labs. Guys, if a student, could this skin book out, baby, with him, they go to school then, Z, books out, TC, only my British fear for me. They class it, books out. Althea, she's dramatic. She gonna come in here either today or tomorrow. She Jamaican. This girl read this book. Guys, I'm telling you, the license is in these two books. You want the secret? Here and here. That you must read the book. Don't say too much. Okay? Don't say too much. Know a little of everything. Alright? I'm telling you. Alright? Make sure you know them. And don't buy the CD trying to be cheap. The CD don't give you the action. The CD only show you the picture. You need to put it in order. Okay? Any question? Right? And the last one is Exelon. Okay? Exelon, when you are on it, people with COPD, people with lung problems should not be on Exelon. Anytime the patient is on Exelon, you must do AVGs on them. So if you check it, lungs, you. Exelon. Exelon is a medication for Alzheimer's. But Exelon works like Myasthenia Gravis drugs. Do you remember the myasthenia gravis drug? We learn in neuro, prostigmen, old student, right? If you take too much, the patient go into cholinergic reaction, and you give him an antidote called atropine. Eczema, that's why with the patient, when you take off the pad, you gotta wash. There's an excellent cup in a patch. And LPN, you give a lot of these drugs. Okay? Any questions? So let me, only three drugs you need to know. Aricept, Namenda, Avec Excellent. And let me tell you something, guys. Okay? Please, all of them, what they have in common? GI problem. Say that's one. Excellent. You must check ABGs and watch the patient for cholinergic crisis. Okay? Make sure you know that. And also, look this up. I don't know if it's facts, look it up. I think I read somewhere they say, Namenda, make your PP change. Look on it for me. Namenda. I think it does make your PP change. Air set. Heart rate goes down. Check heart rate. Any questions? Let's go to death and dying. Let's go to death and dying. And that is your end of cycle. More. It's mad something. So that means when you studying, I want you to study just like I did the class, right? So death and dying is on page 961 in of life. So the way you're going to study your psych, when I finish, before we go on break, I'm going to give you the order with this psych. So next week, will you come take your mama, papa? I could be on and papa. Nice. Okay, nice. Some of you guys will have to be your first test with me. I can see what you made of, and we can move on and choose some dates and try to take your test before Christmas. Yes.
Is next week 29?
Well, you know, the father. All right. He said next week the 29th, baby. Okay, Anali. Okay. Hey, there's something else. Before I go to death and dying, I'm going to talk about that NCLEX give. See? I remember. Types of crisis. They ask type of crisis. It's three little crises. That's it, mama, right here. Box 65-1, right? Just highlight that. Find me call. Don't go lose sleep. The passive four pieces. Type of crisis. Ready? Let's go. There are three type of crisis. Ready? Maturational crisis. Example. Got it. Marriage. Birth of a child. Retirement. Listen. They going to happen, right? So you know how to deal with them, right? Mature. You get old, you gotta retire, right? That is a type of crisis. They ask. All right. Then we go into situational crisis. That is very, very important. For example, ready? Loss of a job. Change of a job. Change of financial status. You remember doing this little recession we had in 2006-07, right? You saw how people lost their jobs and lost their houses. That is called a situational crisis. Okay? Let me give you an example of something. If I have a baby, that is a child that is 5 years old playing, and the child died. Then I have an older lady, she's 98, and she died. Which one bothers you the most? Why? Because in your mind, you say what? The 98-year-old lived her life. You see that? NCLEX asks a lot of questions like that. So when you die young, right, it's more devastating than when you die old. When you die of no disease, it's more devastating than when you die of a disease. That helps you with coping. Okay, right? The person was sick versus somebody that, we all trying to figure out the unknown. A lot of questions like that. Oh, my mama, papa, I go in, try to get you mentally. You got to understand what I'm asking, okay? And the third crisis is called Adventist crisis. Like 9/11, Iraq, right? 9/11, what's that bombing that happened in Boston? Haiti earthquake, those things. Now, so out of all of those, which one is the worst?
Adventitious.
Why? Because it's what? Devastating. That kind of bring people together. I remember 9/11, people were hugging everybody. Amen. What race? Can I get a hug? People were hugging because it was so what? Devastating. Know that. All right, guys? Any questions? Don't go read more. Okay? All right? We cool? Now, then NCLEX asks you how children use death. When I'm 9 years old, I understand death. Mommy died and she ain't coming back. When I'm 5, did grandma die because I'm bad? 5-year-olds blame themselves. 9 years old, they look up one more. 9, 10, and up, they understand that. Any question? That is box 961. Okay? Now, communication process with death. When the person have a loved one that died, the family member tends to lash out. Lash out batai, fashi. They blame the world. If the family member wants to pray, yes, nurses, you can pray with them. They initiate the prayer, not you, right? They want to hold your hands. You can hold their hand. They want a hug. Yes. Now, Muslims, the way they grieve and they slap. They slap themselves and they slap each other. They're hurting, and the nurses may get slapped. They're hurting. That is the way they grieve. Hey, so NCLEX asks you different culture. Haitian people are very loud, right? And Spanish too. Spanish, a lot of family, always there. Asian people, very quiet. They take it, right? So you must understand culture when it comes to death, right? All right, and when we get to culture, fundamental, we'll talk about that. All right, so read 65-4. Don't lose sleep over it. Read it. Any box Miss Sonia tell you to read, you gonna read. True? What did I say? Any box Miss Sonia tell you to read, you gonna read. Because box equate to license. Box, license. Boîte verte, license. Paris, bottle, blood. You got it? Allez, pose, crédit. Right? Comprend? Give license. True?
True.
All right. Turn. End of life. Anytime. In the NCLEX question, they put terminal, palliative, something to do with death,
The question has to do with DNR. Did you hear that? Terminal. Terminal means eventually the patient will die, but when? All right? So they say, the patient has stage 4 cancer. Right? Make sure you know that. Okay? So legal, ethical issues. Make sure you know what is a DNR. Right? Palliative care. Palliative care hospice. Listen, there's no cure. There's comfort. You don't go to hospice for cure. I get cured in a hospice. The patient will die, but when? Any question? So look at where it says palliative care. Focus on care intervention. Symptoms is management rather than cure. Pain and system control environment. Let's talk about hospice for a minute. The students say, well, when you are hospice, they give you morphine to kill you. Haitian people, they scared of morphine. When you say morphine, you say, hey, we lock to yeah, morphine, right? No, it's not. The reason we give you morphine, because what happened is, when you're dying, right, you start to breathe very heavy, right? Kusma breathe, ha 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 ha, which is called death rattle. So they give you the morphine, they give you morphine drip, or they either give you the morphine in your mucous membrane. So what happened is, will slow down the conduction of the heart, will then slow the airway, and you will die peacefully. Not morphine kill you. I have a cousin, right? When my sister was dying, she was like, Sonia, you let them give them morphine, Sonia. I said, get the hell out my face. She kept saying, morphine. She told my whole family, Meguila, they killed her. I was like, girl, get the hell out of here. Let the girl, because my sister was 300 pounds, so you could hear, ah, ah. Come on, let the girl die in peace. I said, drip it. But she owed the whole funeral. She ain't talking to me at all. I gave the morphine. I said, I didn't give it. That's how you die in peace. Right? And my mom, look. Oh, yeah, you too. Yeah, you're fine. If I get hungry, you too. She tried to make me feel guilty. I said, that's not going to work. Right? So, yes. So the people could die in peace. Right? We have near death and we have death. Near death means almost death. Death is death. Now, NCLEX asks you, who called death? Ready? Let's talk about it. I heard the doctor. Well, let me tell you why you say doctor. In the hospital, you call it RN. Your patient died, you call it. Let me explain to you what calling means. Calling is, I have BB, 42-year-old. No pulse, no respiration, no BP, nothing. The patient expired at 10:03. That is calling death. The doctor not there. Where he's at on the floor, RN, you call it. You must be able to call death. LPN, here it is. You don't call it. Your patient died. Your patient died. You must call the supervisor, who then will call it. You see how it goes? It's not LPN calling. LPN, you don't call it. Now, some LPNs are supervisors, and they call it. That is with your facility. But for NCLEX RN, you call that. And the biggest problem with RN, you think the patient not really dead. So you say, oh my God, what about if I call in the patient not dead? That's why after they die, they jerk, they poof, and sometimes they fart. It is normal. It's gas and air coming out. They're dead. And they fart, right? Some Asian people say, wait, whoa. No. You fed fart, I don't think they poof. You fed gas, poof. It's okay. They're still dead. No BP, no pulse, no respiration.
they're dead, and you call it. Now, once you call it, there's a line, hospitals, RN, there's a line, you know, lawsuit, honey. Everything got to be litigation. You're going to call it. B.B. King, 42-year-old black female, You speak it on the, you leave the message. Here it is. The family is always going to be the one you call last. Why, Miss Sonia, you on the phone with them longer? You're not clear. You can't hang up on them, they crying. So after the patient died, you're going to call the line. You're then going to call the supervisor. RN, you do have a supervisor. Or the charge nurse can call for you. First person you're going to call is the doctor. You're going to call the doctor, right? And sometime the doctor, if the doctor close to the family, the doctor says, how are the family? Because when you on the, call the family, oh my God, they cry and you cannot say, I got patient. You got to stay with them until they stop crying. Okay, what's next? The family will tell you that. Okay, what's next? Any question? Right? Yeah.
In order, who do you call first?
You call the death, that means the patient died. Each facility have a protocol. You go call it on the line. Then you call doctor. After you call the doctor, you call the family. Last. Now, the doctor has to sign the death certificate. When we born, we have a birth certificate. When you die, you have a death certificate. And let me tell you what it has on it. It has who you are, how old, your degrees, RN, BSN, MSN, all of that, and the cause of death. So imagine if you have a loved one that died of HIV. My sister died. She didn't leave a will. Nothing. So I have custody, well, my mom, but I have the little one. So everywhere I go, I have to take her death certificate with to make sure they see Gayo, right? And I take it with me. And I have to take it out my purse, take her to her driver's license, get in, go get a car, open a bank account with T. Lee to say that when my sister died. And it tells you the whole thing, what she died of, all tight. And it has to be, you know how you lose your birth certificate? You got to go to the health department, the statistic place. Your death certificate is just like that. That's why back in the days, people used to use people dead, a dead person, use their social, not no more. You go into jail. Right when the person died, it already registered. Social Security block everything down. Everything, even their check. After my sister died, I remember I took her check to the bank. The lady put it in and she goes, what you doing? Just depositing this, right? I say, oh yeah, I'm not cashing it because it's already in the computer. When dead, when she's died, especially when you get like Social Security. In her case, that was her Social Security check. Everything, you go to jail just like this. So you don't, everything, you cannot lie stuff like that. All right? Yes. You said it, the body.
Yeah.
To Haiti.
To DR.
To who? Oh, okay. But still, if they hear all their paperwork is processed in America, and then you can send the body wherever you want to.
I know, but I think my grandmother,
oh, you going to jail. Girl, don't say that. You being on tape. You, you still use your credit card.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because together.
Boom. That's a different thing. Yes, I'm going to talk about that more. Okay, so we talked about the NCLEX ask you about that death certificate, what's on it. Your title is on it. But most important, what you died of and the time. You know, the time you born, also the time you die is collectively important. Now, the morgue. The family member, they call you because we cannot keep you in the hospital morgue. Right? It's a box of ice. They put all the morgue. Before we clean you, and I'm going to go talk about the cleaning, the family already have a person that's going to come pick up the body. So Grace Funeral, Grace will send their men to pick up the body. But Grace don't prepare the body. You, the nurse, prepare the body. Now, here it is. That is called post-mortem care. Post-mortem care. Ready? You wash the body. Who washed the body? CNA. CNA washed the body.
What is that?
I'm telling you. 963-657, and in your skill book is on page 226. In your skill book. Ready? CNA washed the body. All the cordial. If the patient is getting an autopsy is to determine how you die. The cord stays in. CNA don't take off cords. Nurses do it. The cords, like NG2, cords. For Lee, if the patient get an autopsy, Wakite, you're going to leave all the cords in. CNA don't take off the cords. The nurse do. If the patient not get no autopsy, the nurse go in, take all the cords off, including the hospital bracelet. Take everything off. Now, the patient wear dentures, you're going to put them in. The patient wear glasses, you're going to put the glasses. You're going to comb the hair, and you're going to wear a gown. Put the gown on the patient. Now, in the postmortem kit is a diaper. It's like a little chuck. Everybody know what a chuck is. Like a pad that go under his butt or her butt. Now, you're going to remove all the extra sheets, extra pillow, everything in the room. You're removing everything. The bed going to be made nice. The patient will not wear his regular clothes. He will wear a gown. You bathe the patient, and then you put the gown. Ready? And here it is. So you took all things off me. The patient have the gown, you're going to put his hand straight, not like this, straight. And you're going to take the sheet and you're going to fold it all the way to his chin. Chin, Abala. Chin. One pillow under his head. And that is the family coming to see it. The bed will not be high fallen. The bed will be semi fallen. I wear glasses, you're going to put my glasses. I got dentures, you're going to put my dentures. I have a wedding band, you're going to put it on. The purpose of that, so the family can remember you the way you used to be. Okay? Any questions? And the family come and see. NCLEX asked you about the hand. Miss Sonia, I never say no hand like that. I say the hand straight. The bed is not high fowler. It's semi-fowler with one pillow behind the head. Okay? Any question? So now family come and see. Now, the ring, the family will take off and take it, the wife. If they don't, you're going to take the ring off. You're going to take a picture and give it to security. Who steal? I'm going to tell you who steal. Not the morgue. The morgue got more respect than that. You know who steal? Patrick. Patrick, who you paying $10 an hour,
to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning to come pick up the body, Patrick goes, you won't be needing this. Patrick, the ones that take the body, put it in the back of the van, that's the one who steals. All that stuff be gone before the patient even gets to the morgue. So remove the ring, and the wife normally take it. Now, the glasses, the wife will take the glasses. The teeth will go to the morgue. With the dentures will go in his mouth. The glasses you take off, the wife will take. Anything she can take, she will take, right? But the dentures stay in his mouth, all right? Any question? Now, if I have a peg tube or trach, you do not remove it. Parce que sweaty way, tout moelle absorbe. You don't take it off. You send them to the morgue with the trach or the peg tube, and when they embalm them, you know what embalming is, right? They're going to make inside tout sang, chiché, endigo. That's why the person looked like a bull. You see, when they die, they look very dark. The embalming fluid, what it do, it make every secretion in your body get hard, right? And make you last longer. If you do not embalm the dead body, you cannot open the casket. And for cheap, some people say, oh, pain bomb. Anytime embalm is what they do, they go in, they shoot it here, and it shish it tout sang inside of you. So when you see them in the casket, they dark, and you don't flick on one in the casket because of the embalming fluid, right? Help you last longer. You're supposed to embalm. Oh, embalm is the fluid they... You're supposed to, if you don't embalm an absentee, you cannot dispose the body in the funeral with a secay devant me. No, the state will shut you down. Yes?
Number one, do they remove all your blood?
No, they don't remove your blood. When you die, they don't remove your blood, baby. When they give you the embalming in the carotid artery, it be shit, tout sang de dos. Firm, right? You never see a dead person light. Would you wear your light? No. I do this all the time because my boyfriend on the funeral and I have to go in there and embalm. That's my extra money. Yeah, I'm a son of that boyfriend. Hey, miss. Oh, well, I was supposed to have no people in my Right? All right. So, yes. And then you do makeup on them. You do everything on them. Yes.
Jewish people, they don't come.
No. Jewish people, yes, they do get embalmed. Jewish people don't cremate. We're going to talk about that in culture. Jewish people embalm. They don't cremate. Right? Cremation, boule. Haitian people think say Paul of Kiku. That's not true. Some people just want to. Indians do a lot of cremation. Indians.
Only Hindus.
Yeah, Hindus do a lot of cremation because they love the bottle. They love. Okay, we'll talk about that in culture. Let's continue. Any question? Now, okay, here it is. Now we need to tie him. That is called postmortem care. The family came and the family saw. Now it's time to numali, tie the dead body. Here it is. In the bag, there's four cords. Cut cord, four cords. Cord number one, the little one, it's kind of fat. It tied the head because you don't want the head flat. It tied. Cord, there's four cords. T-cord. For the morgue. You gotta prepare the body for it's not in your book, so you won't write. There's four, it's in your skill book. There's four cords. One for the head. I'm gonna tell you another one. One for the head. Two, for the leg. Right? The third one, the big one, so one for the head, one for the leg, right? The third one for the head. You tie the head, yes. So you tie just like this. You tie the head. The cord is a big one for the head, don't flap. Then there's a little cord that goes just like that, for the mahalingo, like this. Then the other one, you're going to put the leg like that. You tie the leg. Then the fourth one is a big, long one. You're going to wrap the whole body. Tuck the whole body. So now they like this. Right? You see that? Now, there's three tags. One famous tag on the big toe. Wolfus. The big toe. I didn't say the leg. The big toe. That's an NCLEX question. One of the tags on the big toe. Another tag. Tag. T-A-G. Tag. The other tag, right? Going to go in their belongings. Lazio. In the bag with their belongings. That's tag number two. The third tag, when you put them in the bag, put them in the back. The zipper go up, and you put that tag on the zipper. That's four cords, three tags. One tag gonna go on the big toe. The other one go on their belongings. Third go on the body, not on the body, on the zipper, the body bag. The body bag. Okay. And then you put them, you keep them in the room, and the morgue come and get them. Ricky or Patrick come and get them. So if you left the ring in his finger, Patrick take it right there. Yeah, Patrick open the bag. And some more, it depends. North Broward, we have to prepare them. But university, when I did clinicals for students, I remember we prepared a body. Morglock prepared the body. We helped him. Patrick did. And I think the reason Patrick did it because he was in a hurry. He was in a hurry to get the body.
Do that on the hospital?
Yeah, they do it. No, you can do it at home. The patient died at home. In a facility. No, the facility, you will put it in the ice. They will put it in the mat. And they have the supervisors come, and sometimes the morgue just take it like that. Hospital, you got to clean the patient. You got to, especially North Broward, you got to tie the patient, and the morgue come get the patient. You close the door, and they come get the patient. If the family did not pay for funeral arrangement, you will go put the patient in the ice box. Like this. It's a bigger cord, so it don't flap. It don't hang like that. Yes, let me give her and I'll come back to you. Yes. No, why would you call the police? No, the security, no, the trust me, the police brought you. You don't call the police. The police have nothing to do with a dead body. People die for different reasons. Why the patient died, I don't know about nursing home protocol. You gotta call the police?
If the patient is not DNR.
Oh, if the patient not DNR, hospital, you don't call the police. I don't know about, facilities, but I know hospital, you. Any question? Yes. Okay, let me ask you a question. Would you give a new nurse to prepare the body?
No.
No, not because she cannot do it. It's because she's not experienced. You give her the dressing change to do. You give her a discharge to do before you give her that.
Any question? All right?
Okay.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating. We wish you all the best in the coming examination. See you next time.